Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
Okay, we're back. The Locked On Celtics podcast with the Rain and Jays. I'm John Corrales. Jay King with me. A little bonus action here talking about the NBA draft from a few days ago. And how now we are going into free agency. The next step here is free agency. Before we get into the actual meat of rumors and stuff like that, let's take a look, Jay, because we got a couple of questions. One from Alex: where do you think the Celtics will need more help, and where can they get it in free agency? And C. Foster, KS, from Ryan Gillenwater: how did the draft affect free agency? So let's spend a few minutes here talking about now what we can expect now that the Celtics have presumably Jaylen Brown in the mix. Depending on what Gershon Yabusele does, he's probably a draft and stash guy. Zizic might play. We don't know how this affects the entirety of the Boston Celtics team. So let's look at this draft from a free agency perspective. The Celtics have Jared Sullinger, who's restricted, Tyler Zeller, who's restricted. They have decisions to make on Amir Johnson, Jonas Jerebko. Evan Turner is an unrestricted free agent. Did anything in this draft to you change how the Celtics are going to approach their own free agents?
I think so. Look, if you trade for Jimmy Butler, then all of a sudden a big summer would have been more in play. You know, maybe it still happens. Maybe the Celtics can still swing a trade down the line. Maybe they can still convince top free agents, hello Kevin Durant, to come, as much of a pipe dream as that seems right now. But for right now, the Celtics haven't made that big deal, and maybe that makes it more likely to that they keep either Jared Sullinger or Tyler Zeller, who are both restricted free agents. When you look at that front court, there's a lot of uncertainty there. Kelly Olynyk is the only established big man with a guaranteed contract for next season, and he just underwent shoulder surgery and should miss at least part of training camp. So, you know, obviously the front court isn't completely barren. Amir Johnson, Jonas Jerebko, both of those guys can be kept. Jordan Mickey, he could be worthy of minutes next year. But the fact that they took two possible draft and stash guys doesn't make things any more certain for next year and even this summer when it comes to their free agents.
It's going to be interesting to see how Zizic really impacts those guys. I would think, I really do think that Zeller is gone, that you could probably get his production from somewhere else. And it might be Zizic who gets that production. You need Sullinger, I think, because you don't have that stretch four unless Yabusele doesn't become a draft and stash guy and he becomes Sullinger's replacement. I mean, I know that you said in the last show that that's what they wanted, draft and stash, to preserve roster spots, but there exists that minor possibility that the Celtics won't do for Sullinger what he wants contractually, and he may end up going somewhere else. So the front court is going to be an interesting scenario, and like I said in the last show, the drafting of Bentel out of Providence, sleeper kind of, maybe he's the Sullinger insurance. Maybe he's the guy that can kind of, in a pinch, be a shooting big that either comes in off the bench or something. So I think it's possible that Sullinger might end up signing somewhere else no matter what, even if the Celtics want him back.
Yeah, I would agree with that. With Sullinger, the questions are obvious. When he gets paid, is he going to stay in shape, or is he going to get in shape? How about his body? Can it hold up over the long term? Is that back issue that everybody red flagged before the draft, is that still something that matters? Is, you know, he's had two season-ending surgeries, the stress fracture he ended up coming back from, but that really cut his season short 2 seasons ago. So there are a lot of questions there with him, and enough question marks that if he gets overpaid, which he might, the Celtics, I think, will have trouble matching that offer.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see how these guys push. And now this is just the draft. We haven't even explored what NBA free agents the Celtics might be going for. There are guys who could be Sullinger replacements out there in the free agent market. There are guys. What if they get Al Horford or Ryan Anderson? Those are guys that can move into that four spot and are upgrades. And they're going to be getting a lot of money, but so is Sullinger. And if you've got that cap space, how much do the Celtics value these guys? They have the ability to add two max guys. And Ainge on the radio the other day said that he thinks up to 60 players in the NBA could get max contracts this year. Not that they all deserve it, but he said up to 60 players probably could get maximum deals. So are there guys that the Celtics can target out there to potentially replace Sullinger and or Zeller? Now that we know that what the draft has panned out, I still think guys like Ryan Anderson and even to a lesser degree, I keep bringing up Mirza Teletovic, and I don't think Dirk Nowitzki's going anywhere, but these are all guys that are now in the mix free agent-wise. I think the Celtics will explore bringing those guys in.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about this free agent class is it's not very deep. You know, there are some intriguing guys like Hassan Whiteside, I think, because he blocks a lot of shots and would bring great athleticism to the front court. He's an intriguing fit. You look at it, Mike Conley, very good player, but he plays the same position as Isaiah Thomas. Al Horford would be obviously a big upgrade in the front court. There are a few guys. Obviously, Kevin Durant is the dream, right? He's everyone's right. Dream, but I think he's still the Celtics' dream. I think because they failed to make a trade on draft night, they still have a lot of maneuvering to do if they're going to position themselves for a shot at Durant. They need to improve the roster. They need to show him that if he signs in Boston, he can contend for a title and have the goods to maybe knock off Cleveland and then Golden State, San Antonio, whoever comes out of the Western Conference as early as next season. So their Durant chances might have taken a hit because they didn't get that established veteran on draft night. Who knows? There still might be other deals out there. That 2017 Nets pick, if they are willing to unload it at some point, is probably their most valuable asset right now. I mean, Bradley Beal is an interesting free agent. I don't know if the Wizards, they'll probably match even a max offer given the salary cap landscape, but he's a guy who's very talented, hasn't had the best career yet, has dealt with a lot of injuries. They're just, honestly, Harrison Barnes, he's another guy. Does he move the needle enough? I don't think so. I think with a lot of these guys that are free agents, instead of overpaying in this wild landscape, unless you can get those top guys, the Horfords, the Durants, the Whitesides, then I don't know if it's worth going after the second-tier guys versus pushing over some of that flexibility into next season and then taking another chance when the draft is better, when the free agent class is really, really loaded.
Yeah, that 2017 free agent class is going to be, I would say, significantly better. You know, Curry, Westbrook, both are going to be – can you imagine – Steph Curry, what the competition is going to be for that guy. Westbrook's in that mix. A lot of really, really good players in that mix for 2017. Obviously LeBron, but he's not going to go anywhere. Blake Griffin will be available. So, I mean,
Chris Paul.
Yeah, there are a lot of top-notch guys that you want to have the flexibility to sign those guys, but I guess it depends on what they think the realistic possibility of getting one of those guys with the roster that they have. Do you have to is signing Blake Griffin away somehow dependent on bringing in certain guys? And if you bring in those guys, like say, so I'm talking about bringing in stretch fours this year. Well, that kind of eliminates going after Blake Griffin next year if that's a guy the Celtics want to get. Because how many of these forwards are you going to have? Are you going to push a guy that's starting to the bench? You're going to be paying max money to a guy who's on the bench. So the long-term plan, it's so hard to put that into place because you don't want to make a mistake this summer that affects who you can sign next summer.
Exactly. And that's obviously, you know, if Danny Ainge was willing to take big risks, he would have made trades already. He would have added somebody to try to make a difference. He does not want to take massive risks. When he makes a deal, he wants it to be one that will push the Celtics forward. And until he sees that trade, he is going to keep that flexibility. And we keep stressing it, but patience for him is the most important part. And I think that's been the key to him so far, making all the right moves. But at some point, he is going to have to pull the trigger. And at some point, he's going to have to pile assets on top of each other until the team says yes and until he's able to make that move. And
right. You can be patient.
Again, I don't know when that happens.
That's the thing. You can be patient and say that's not the right deal, but then you could also miss the window at some point. Like you don't have forever in the NBA. They basically have this summer and next summer, and then things are going to start changing radically. Guys are going to start getting, you know, a couple years older, and I know they have a very young team now, but then contracts are going to start coming up. You have your own free agents that you have to deal with. You have to make decisions on guys that are becoming restricted and whose contracts are coming up. Isaiah Thomas's contract's going to be over in a couple years. Like these things, you need to time this right. So going into this summer, it's not just about getting the guys who are available this summer. You got to get the right guys that, and who knows, maybe part of signing the free agents this summer is also guys that you can trade next summer in sign and trade deals. I don't know. There are so many moving parts. It's very easy to look at this under the microscope and say, open spot, power forward, who's the best power forward available in 2016? Let's go after that guy. This is like a big, complicated set of gears in a big clock that all have to work together, and it involves 2017, 2018, 2019. There are a lot of things going on that this draft and next year's draft and the draft after that are all going to have an impact on.
Yeah, there are just so many moving factors. And again, I do think the Celtics have huge plans for when they make those moves, like doing them all together so that they can create, like the Ray Allen trade, you know, that set up the Kevin Garnett trade, which then set up getting James Posey and Eddie House, which then set up a championship. When they make the trades, I feel like they'll really consolidate a lot of those assets and start being really aggressive. But first they need to get that first step and feel like they have a real chance at putting together that championship caliber team and making the right trades and free agent signings to get there.
So let me ask you this. One of the intriguing names out there is Nicholas Batum for this summer. Do you make a big move for a guy like him and lock up a pretty good small forward and you deal with like Jay Crowder, maybe you play him more at the four, and you just kind of go small ballish with Crowder at the four and Batum at the three, and you just deal with it and leave some space open to go after a big name next year, but still make your team significantly better? Or do you just let Batum go and let Charlotte and, I don't know, maybe Toronto if DeRozan leaves and some of these other middle-of-the-road teams fight for him and kind of keep that flexibility?
I think they'll probably pass on guys like that just based on their history. Last year, you know, they signed Amir Johnson, they signed Jonas Derebko to short-term deals that were 1+1 deals where the second year was not guaranteed. The Celtics decided to pass on chasing Danny Green. They decided to pass on chasing Damari Carroll because they didn't feel like those guys moved the needle enough. They have enough good players. Batum is very good. He would be a nice fit, but I just don't know if he moves the needle enough. They need those guys who move the needle, who will get them to the next step. And that's why this is hard. That's why a big trade hasn't happened yet. It's tough to find those guys, and it's tough to find the right situation where adding those guys is possible. And it just hasn't happened yet. And Ainge, as I said, like, his patience is admirable. Everybody calls him Trader Danny. He has just been really patient. And obviously it's frustrating to Celtics fans who want that championship contender now. But he's more about refusing to make a bad deal. And then I do think once it really comes down to it and they see that opening, they'll start pushing all their chips into the table and try to build a real contender really quick. But first they need to find that opening and find that first move that kind of sets the dominoes in action.
So let's try to set fans' expectations for this summer. Okay, we've got the draft. That's kind of set. We know that Jaylen Brown's going to get a chance to play. And we'll see what the rest of the guys do, whether they, you know, Yabusele plays in Europe and Zizic, what he does, whatever. The second rounders will get an opportunity, I'm sure. But there's still a lot to be done. So let's set the expectations. Free agent-wise, we know that Danny's working on a trade. Like, we know that the trades are out there. He has said that the trade is always a possibility. He is looking to see what could happen. Hell, maybe Jaylen Brown gets traded this summer. Maybe he has an awesome summer league and he gets traded. We don't know. But as far as the free agents who are out there, are we going to make a splash at all? Are we going to get any kind of big name? Or are the Celtics going to go after, like, Etuan Moore and bring him back as a shooter off the bench and pay him, you know, okay money, but not too much money, and have him as a, they need shooting, he's a free agent, let's get this guy to come in and be a shooter off the bench?
I think they'll go after the top guys, and I think it's a long shot to get the top guys just because so many teams will be after them, whether it's Kevin Durant, Al Horford, Hassan Whiteside, those guys will have a lot of suitors. I think the chances are small that they make a big splash. I think they might just throw another Amir Johnson type deal at someone who will help immediately and won't have a long term deal so that they can keep that flexibility. I wouldn't be surprised if they did that again. You know, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so basically more of the same. We're going to kind of, the 2016-2017 season for the Boston Celtics, as of right now, and I know a lot can change, you think we're looking at kind of going at it again with the guys that we have with some minor upgrades, essentially?
Yeah, although in his press conference after the draft, Danny Ainge said something that was interesting to me. He indicated that he is open to trading the 2017 Nets pick. And hold on, let me get the exact quote from him, because I thought it was interesting, because that's a pick that is going to have a ton of value. The Nets are going to be terrible. That draft is loaded. He said, we have some young prospects in the pipeline, so to speak, and have a future first-round pick and future assets to try to help fill holes we may need this summer. So that suggests he could be aggressive trying to look for trades the rest of the summer. If they make a big trade, if they find that at some point, then all of a sudden they have a better chance at those top guys. And maybe, you know, that 5% chance or whatever it is right now turns into 30, 35, and maybe you find that big splash. The thing is, the odds are always against you making that big splash. Every team is looking for that big splash. The Celtics have a lot of assets. They haven't been able to use them yet. I don't know whether they will be able to do it this summer.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. I have no idea what to expect. They could equally make the biggest move and somehow get themselves into being a legitimate contender for the Eastern Conference Finals, or run it back with some upgrades, like I said before, some minor upgrades. Hard to say what they're going to do, especially at this point with free agency looming. But this show was just about getting a little bit of that secondary draft reaction and how the draft affected free agency as we approach that. July 1st is around the corner. The moratorium is shorter this year, which is great. So we'll start to see guys agree and sign real quick so we don't get another DeAndre Jordan situation. And then we're off to the races. It's going to be a hell of a summer. We're going to be back with many more shows and more shows like this, maybe a little bit shorter. So stay with us here. We'll see you next time on the Locked On Celtics podcast with the Rain and Jays. See ya.